I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you tonight. If you would, open your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1. We've been studying Ruth in my Sunday school class. There's some interesting verses at the very end of chapter 1. We're going to look at them, but just very quickly, we'll look at the first part of the chapter. Here's Naomi. She's married to Elimelech of the tribe of Judah. It's a very important tribe in Israel. Verse 1 of Ruth 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." They went to Moab for survival. There might have been food in Moab, but God was not there. God was not there. I don't know how much wisdom was put forth in the decision to go to Moab. It was probably a faithless decision. Moving on, you remember what happened. They spent, most Bible scholars believe, about 10 years there. The two sons that they had, Mahlon and Chilion, grew up there, and both of them married Moabite women. And then Elimelech died. Later, Mahlon and Chilion died, leaving three widows in that culture. And something amazing happens in verse 6. "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." What a sweet turn of events, not just for Naomi and Ruth and Orpah, but also for the Israelites back in the land. God had visited them. No doubt he had withdrawn his blessing from them because of their sin. In fact, the book of Ruth takes place somewhere in the early chapters of the book of Judges. And we know that in Judges chapter 3, it was the Moabites who dominated and had subjugated the Israelites and were forcing them to pay taxes. And that's when you have Ehud, the left-handed judge, who goes to King Eglon, king of Moab, to pay him the taxes. And he gave him more than he gave him some silver, but it was sharpened into a blade. But at any rate, you know, the Christian life is not always up on top of the mountain. Boy, how we wish it was. Much of the Christian life is down in the valley, and that's where Naomi finds herself after her husband dies. She has no heirs, probably not much lower position in life in Israel than being a widow. At least a widower can get a job, you know, but here's a widow, and she doesn't have anybody to turn to except a kinsman, somebody who is benevolent, somebody who's in a position to step forward and help her. It's going to be at his expense, and he's not going to get much out of it, is he? Because a kinsman redeemer would step forward. There might be a bride involved, but the first son would inherit the dead one's possessions. And the kinsman redeemer stepped forward, and he inherited nothing. It went to his son. That's who received it. And so he's paying money to buy this property, and what's he going to do? He's going to turn around and give it back to the family that he's redeeming. So it's a beautiful picture. And so here's Naomi down in the bottom. And more than likely, she's thinking, things can't get much worse. And then another surprising verse. Orpah goes back to her country in verse 15. And Naomi said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back," now speaking to Ruth, "back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And verse 16, very well known. "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Here, Ruth, this Moabite girl, becomes a proselyte. And the only thing you can attribute it to is the life that she's seen lived before her from Elimelech, speaking of God, Naomi, and Mahlon and Chilion. There's been this seed planted in her heart, and it's been growing. And now her mother-in-law says, I'm going back to Israel. God's visited the land, and I'm headed back. Now, verse 19, the two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that the city was moved about them. So they created quite a stir. But here's the verses that I want to focus on. Verse 20, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Now her name meant pleasant. And she says, don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara, bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Now I want you to see these four things that she says are directly from the hand of God. Verse 20, the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. Verse 21, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. That's the second one. Third, she said, the Lord hath testified against me. And fourth, the Almighty hath afflicted me. She's down in the valley, isn't she? Okay? She doesn't think things can get any worse. All right? Now, we have to be careful here. It doesn't necessarily say that Naomi is blaming God for what's happened. There's obviously some understanding that she recognizes that there is a sovereign God in her life, and He has allowed affliction to come into her life, much like Job. Okay, so I think we have to be careful here, not be too accusatory and say, boy, Naomi, look, you're over here blaming God for this and that. I think that she was indeed saddened at her new lot in life. I think she was trying to be honest. She was not full of pride. She had humbled herself and said, these things have happened at the hand of God. Don't call me Naomi. Things are not pleasant for me anymore. I'll be glad to respond tomorrow. The bitterness that now exists in my life kind of reminds me of somebody else in a similar situation. Joseph ended up in a foreign country. He was framed by an adulteress. He ended up in prison. Did he not? And yet, what did he say in Genesis 50, verse 20? He said to his brothers, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good. Now, there's a little bit of a difference here between Joseph and Naomi. Joseph recognized that through all the terrible things that he had been through, God was still at work. He hadn't stopped. He hadn't given up. I don't think Naomi was to that point. She doesn't see that God is already working. For the very next verse, in verse 22, Naomi returned, Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law. Who did she have with her? A young woman from Moab who was a believer now, who believed in Jehovah. And returned, it says, which returned out of the country of Moab. Ooh, there's a stigma there, because in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3 and 4, there was a curse put on the Moabites. Let me read it to you. Deuteronomy 23, verses 3 and 4. The Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Wow. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way. They weren't welcomed on their trip and journey out of Egypt. So here's Naomi. She's headed back into Israel. It's going to be tough enough for her as a widow, but boy, it's going to be really tough on this Moabite girl who is not going to be accepted into the congregation. Aren't you glad that God is a God of exceptions? As we're going to see, God makes exceptions. He's already at work in Naomi's life. She doesn't see it. She doesn't recognize it. But God is already moving. He's benevolent. He's working in her life. The rest of verse 22, and they came to Bethlehem when? When did they show up? At the beginning of barley harvest. This was the earliest part of the harvest season. The barley came in first, and after the barley harvest, the wheat harvest came in. And what would be the absolute best time for two widows to show up when food is going to be plentiful? Barley harvest. She doesn't see this, though. She doesn't recognize God's already moving. He's already working. He's at work in her life. Well, let's look back up at something in verse 20. She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. The word Almighty there is actually translated El Shaddai. The name of God, El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, is only used 7 times in the Old Testament. And it's interesting. One of the times, it's used in reference to Joseph, who went through struggles, and God was working in his life. And the other one of the other times, obviously, is here in Ruth 1, verse 20. Shaddai translated, one who is sizable, considerable, competent, ample, adequate, large enough, or sufficient. That's our God. That's the God who she said has dealt bitterly with me. But look at her life. She's not looking, she's not seeing what God is doing in her life already. I wonder if God was all-sufficient when she and Elimelech headed out of Israel to Moab. I wonder if in her mind she bore some of the blame for the decision to leave. We've got 2 young children. They're going to starve, honey. We've got to go. But God is there in Israel. Whether there's food there or not, God's there. And so I kind of wonder if maybe she felt some of the blame in saying, let's get out of Israel. Let's go someplace where there's food. That's more important. But it wasn't, because they left the land that God had promised. Now, a couple things Naomi was sure of. We see that she knew that God was in her life, because we have 4 times that she's mentioned Him. He dealt bitterly with her. She went out full, and she came back home alone empty. More than likely, that's related to the possessions. Elimelech, no doubt, took many things with him. But what did she bring back? What could she bring back? 2 women. More than likely, she had to sell what meager things she had after her husband's death. And so she probably brought back some clothes and maybe some money, and that's about it. She mentions the Lord in verse 21. The Lord hath testified against me. That was something that Job had said. Job had said that God was testifying against him. And then she also said, the Almighty hath afflicted me. All right. What are some things that we can learn quickly? Number 1, God is sovereign. Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. After He changeth the times and the seasons, He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. And also in Daniel 4, verse 35, you see the sovereignty of God. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? God is sovereign. God may be doing things in your life when you were at your lowest point, like Naomi. Look up. Look to God. Know that He is sovereign. Secondly, know that God is provident. Psalm 34 and verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Ooh, boy, how many of you can agree with that? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Don't you love that last word? He didn't miss any. He's going to deliver us out of all of our afflictions. So God is sovereign, God is provident, and then remember that God's purposes are good. We could all quote Romans 8:28. And we all know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Well, one more verse and I'll close. Isaiah 55 helps give us a synopsis coming from God's viewpoint. Whenever we think that things are going bad, we're at a low, God's not working in our life. Remember all the things that happened to Job, and not once did he ever blame God. Remember Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Yes, I'm sure Naomi was at a very, very low point in her life, and she missed one important thing, even with all the bad things that were going on, that she attributed to God. She didn't see that He was still working. And then, four chapters later, when the tide is completely turned, when she's no longer in the valley, when she's back up on the mountaintop, Boaz steps forward, redeems her, redeems Ruth, and then they have a child, Obed. And there's another exception too, by the way, because Boaz had a special mother. Does anybody remember who Boaz's mother was? Another Canaanite, Rahab. God is a God of exceptions. Let's look to God. Let's try to see His hand. Let's try to look for His providence, even when bad things happen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for Your Word, Lord. I pray that these words of encouragement will help lift us up. When things look bad, when it doesn't look like You're at work in our lives, Lord, help us to look up. Help us to know that You're sovereign, that You're provident, that You always have our good in mind, and help us to walk closer to Thee, even in those sad times and bad times. Bless Your word to our heart now, and bless us throughout the rest of our work week. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.